I'm a fucking wreck. Hey, Chip.
Hi, nice bathrobe.
Literally.
I'm just coming in hot.
So Chip shows up at my house today. It is 1 p.m. and I am in a bathrobe. But this doesn't mean I haven't done shit with my day, by the way.
Right.
I've already been up working very long hours. Like, what? I've been working since 6 a.m.
And you've been to the gym.
I stopped to go to Barry's for a workout class, which I injured my calf. And like, again, this is like in line with the last episode and then the lady episode. I'm like, oh my God.
Falling apart. 40's nearing.
40 is nearing. 40 is imminent. Shit is getting real.
I had a doctor's appointment today. And when I was checking out, the woman, like, I like
what
yawned.
What kind of doctor?
It was just like a normal scheduled checkup. And when I was checking out, I like yawned. And my appointment, it was probably at like 9:45 a.m. Okay. This was happening. And she goes, don't do that. And I was like, I've been up since 6. And then she looked at me. She's like, I've been at work since 6.
Yeah,
and I was
like, oh, like, bitch, shit. Please.
I was like, sorry. Don't do that.
9:45. She's like, I've been already done with the day.
And yeah. I was like,
Oh my God. Well, what's been going on this week? You have house guests, right?
I have two house guests and a dog guest. So,
how's that going?
I think you
mentioned that on the podcast before.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that they were coming. Yeah. So, it's two of my best friends from, they live in LA and they are, they're kind of taking advantage of the work from home situation. Well, one of them works for himself. The other one works for a record label and, she doesn't have to be in the office. So they gave up their apartment in Los Angeles, moved a bunch of stuff to like storage, or they're both from the LA area. So they spread some stuff out across their parents' houses and eventually they're planning on buying. But they're like, in the meantime, we're just going to kind of be vagabonds. So they're staying with me for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've like moved. They showed up with, they were like, you are going to die when you see how much stuff we were. I mean, they brought desks.
Yeah.
You know, they're working too. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I'm used to working from home by myself. They're used to being in their apartment together, working together. So it's like, there's this whole adjustment thing where like, it's not quiet in my house anymore. But it's so fun having them there, but I'm like fucking exhausted.
It's a different deal.
Like, we're like, we cannot drink every night. Like, this
bad habits.
Like, we're excited, and this needs to feel a little bit like a vacation, but it also has to feel like real life.
What is real life?
I mean, it's very real life, you know? So it's, I think now that we're a weekend, like, I got up this morning and like went to the doctor. Like, I'm kind of just doing my, I don't feel like I have to like babysit them in any way. But it's, I mean, it is an adjustment. And now there's three dogs. So it's like when one of them barks, it's like a symphony of barking. So you're on a conference call and it just goes crazy. So I just have to remember having my phone on mute and shit when I'm not talking.
Jesus.
But
it's totally a different beast to go from living a single life, like having your space, having a house to yourself, doing what you want to do when you want to do it, basically, except for work, obviously.
Right.
To having someone live in the house with you. This is a big adjustment in most relationships, right?
Totally. Like,
completely that whole deal. So I totally get that. That was a huge adjustment for me, even having kids around. Like, cause you're literally like, whoa, I haven't had coffee yet. Why the fuck are y'all coming at me? You
know,
like,
right.
I don't know. Simmer, I can't meet a need for anyone yet. Like, let me get some coffee. Life is just a lot different because you have your little routines too that I don't think we really recognize until you're living with other people.
Totally. Yeah. It definitely makes you recognize your own idiosyncrasies.
100%.
So it's like I invited them, like I welcomed this. So it's like, I can't come at anything really.
Sure.
Like, because they are
guests,
but they're also like, they're not doing anything
wrong.
So, and the truth is that like, I'm so excited that they're there. I just didn't think about how it would feel different. Because I was so excited about them being
there.
But
you also probably didn't even realize you were so accustomed to being on your own.
Right.
Like, there's a Sex and the City episode, and they talk about the secret single behaviors. Like, Carrie talks about how she likes to stand in the kitchen and read fashion magazines and eat crackers. And, like, this weird, just like, she's like, none of it makes sense. And if anyone saw me doing it, it would be weird. Charlotte says like, she likes to get in the mirror and look at her pores. Like, it's like weird shit like that that you don't really want anyone to see you doing. But it's just like, it's not a big deal, but it's just like, you don't even realize you do most of the stuff until someone else is around and you're like, oh shit,
I can't go pick my zits.
Well, mine is my neti pot. Do you know, like, it's a thing I do every day, and I had to really get over that whenever I had people around all the time, because I'm like, oh God, I'm boiling this water. And I do this every single morning. I boil water and then I go in the bathroom and I do this thing that now my boyfriend's little girl is called the snorty thingy. And so it's like, I literally am like leaning over the sink, you know, doing the neti pot deal or whatever. It's kind of gross.
Yeah. I know somebody that does it every day too. And he does it in the shower.
Oh, that's smart. But so anyway, I just didn't want people to see me doing that. But it's like, it jigs up. Like you just got to do
it. It's like the least sexy thing you can do.
Right.
You know, you're making boogers come out of your nose.
Right. What's yours? Do you have a...
Well, I like to get in my pores.
You do. Yeah. I didn't know this about you.
I love it.
Do you like pop sits and stuff?
Well, yeah. Like I like to get blackheads out.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm an esthetician in my private life. I love that. Yeah. I've got one of those magnifying mirrors. It's fucking crazy.
That's what Charlotte does on Sex and the City. Yeah. Look at you. I often
will do it when I'm on the phone.
I wonder what Sex and the City character you would be.
Miranda.
The lesbian. I mean, I can't not say it.
Well, no, I'm not Miranda's personality, though.
She's like super type A.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more Charlotte.
Are you, though?
I think I'm a mix of all of them.
Are you?
I've got a little bit of all of them.
I mean, Slutapalooza would for sure be Samantha. Yeah. Miranda is like the super driven, smart lawyer. Work is like super important to her.
But she's kind of falling apart at the same time a lot of the times, I feel like.
But she's not that good at relationships, right? Carrie is me. 100%. 150%. Like people, and everyone wants to be the Carrie person because she's the main character, and I don't know. But I have friends who will literally watch the show and be like, it is the most bizarre. I feel like I am watching you in a fake show. Like, it is you. Even how I deal with relationships, like, all of it has been... or is exactly me, and how she's so like in her feels when she writes sometimes.
She also loves shoes.
She loves shoes. And she spends way too much money on shoes. Same. I mean, yeah, all of it. It's just all of us. I'm definitely not Samantha, and I'm definitely not Charlotte.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm maybe I'm Mr. Big.
Oh, really? Self call. Okay.
No, what was John?
No, Aiden is who you want to be. Aiden was like the best. Do you know that I've worked with him before, though? John Corbett.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre because you're so attached to a character, you know? And so I expected him to come in and be like Aiden. He's like completely not, like at all.
Yeah, he's like a singer songwriter, too.
He is a singer songwriter. He's just like a little more like abrasive and like harsh, because like Aiden is so sweet and kind and like go with the flow emo guy, you know. And not that he wasn't like rude, he was actually lovely, like I liked him, but it was just not the personality that I expected.
Right,
he's like a little more hardcore.
What was the really hot blonde dude that Samantha dated? Jason somebody. I can't
his name is Smith Jared on the show, or Jared on the show. He's married.
Jason Lewis, I think that's his name. Yeah,
or Jason something. But he's married to oh my God, what is that girl's name? She's beautiful. Are you Googling?
Yes, I got to Google for Susan. This. Sorry, Susan. I don't know the
don't apologize to Susan anymore. I'm done with her.
Smith Jarrett,
yes. But I want to know who's... It's like, she's a famous actress and she's beautiful. The people listening right now are yelling
it. Jason Lewis is his real name.
Who's he married to? It starts with an R. I'm right there. I can see her face.
It's not on his Wikipedia who he's married to.
Maybe they were dating and I'm confusing it. I keep wanting to say Rosetta, which only makes me think Rosetta Stone.
Is it Rosaria Dawson?
Yes, yes, her. They were dating.
Rosetta Stone.
Jason Lewis and Rosetta Stone.
Well, this says that he is married to Lee Lewis and they have two children.
Wow, I was really off there.
Oh, wait, sorry. This is a different... It's a different Jason Lewis. He's a Minnesota politician.
Are you sure his last name is Lewis?
No, the actor is Jason Lewis.
Do you know when you're listening to a podcast and they can't figure something out and you're in your car and you're like yelling? Yes, you're like, no, it's the people are doing that.
Well,
right
as
now.
Of February 14th, 2020, Jason Lewis of Sex and the City took to Instagram to say that he was announcing that he and his girlfriend Liz Goodwin got engaged.
Okay.
So,
well, he used to date Rosaria Dawson.
Yeah, that's according to the Daily Mail. So,
well, I guess they broke up.
That's as far as I've gotten.
Not as cute as he used to be. He really didn't age very well.
I met him once in New York and he was so kind.
Oh, well, that makes me like him more.
Yeah, he was so kind.
I loved him on that show. Anyway, well, I love your update. I'm glad that you're adjusting. I feel like by the time you your friends actually leave, you're going to be so sad because you're going to have flipped to the other adjustment. Right. And you're going to be lonely. That's the hard part. It's the hard adjustment.
I'm going to have to kick them out one at a time.
Yeah. Keep one around for a little bit longer. Who would you keep?
Steal their dog, you know?
You asked me what my update was earlier, and I was like, I literally don't have an update. Because I feel like this is not a real problem, you know? And like, I feel like that girl that's like, oh, okay, shut the fuck up. You talk about this all the time. But like, work has really come back full force, and I'm overwhelmed. Like, I do not understand how I used to work the way I did. Used to. Like, I really don't. Like, I have not adjusted back.
Well, I think some of it is that you shouldn't work the way that you used to. So there's probably a part of you that's like, inherently knows
that's like,
do not
it.
Go there. Yeah. Because you shouldn't.
Yeah. It was pretty unhealthy.
Yeah.
But I am adjusting to some parts of it, but then it's like the last 2 weeks in Nashville, I do feel like since like the mask mandate is kind of over and the vaccines are happening, like things are really starting to pick up. And, I think it's like picked up, and I'm so grateful. There's like, it's like such a mixed bag of feelings, you know, but I'm leaving tomorrow to travel for a week and a half. I'm going to Telluride and then LA, which is awesome and so exciting. And I'm so overwhelmed to pack for that long. I'm like, oh my God. And I used to do this like in my sleep, I would pack for shit. Like it wouldn't even have fazed me, you know? But
well,
it's
I'm used to wearing the same pair of pants every day. So that's what gets really overwhelming when it comes to packing for something. Now I'm like, well, can I just wear the same thing every day? Like,
and Like, oh, wait, I have to pick outfit. Like, it's just like stuff that's not real problems. It's just crazy how out of practice we got with certain things that used to be just like so mindless and dumb and like just things you did every day, you know?
I also am very guilty. This is pre-pandemic guilt of packing shit that I never touch when I get there. That's so now I'm like, I'm going to put one pair of pants in my bag and I'm going to wear a pair of pants. And that's what I have for a week.
Well, and where I'm going, I mean, I'll have a washer dryer. It's really more like the temperature issues or like, what do I need to like plan to be doing? Cause there's like different mixes of things that I'll be doing. And anyway, again, none of these are real problems and I'm super grateful for these opportunities, but
you're also going to be shopping. So just pack minimal so you
shopping.
Can manage shit.
Who's shopping?
I don't know. I guess in LA. About getting t-shirts.
Yeah. I'm updating the vintage tees on velvetsedge.com. I'm going to go meet with some of my wholesalers that I have not gotten to see since pre-COVID. I mean, they would send me some stuff, but then it just got too complex and I was like, let's just pause this stuff. So yeah, like life is opening back up. I'm about to get the website back up and running because I've been completely off that game too and just burnout. And so yeah, just adjusting to life again. Everyone when I say post-corona is like, it's not really over. But it's just like life is opening back up. Sorry, it just is.
Well, I mean, I guess we just have to recognize that people listen from all places.
True.
But like here in Nashville,
it's wide open. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it didn't even happen.
I mean, my friends that are visiting are like, they're freaking out a little bit. They're here from LA. They're like, I mean, they're both vaccinated and feel safe. It's just like a mental thing.
It's totally a mental thing.
I'm the same way. Like, where did I go? Oh, I had dinner last night at this restaurant in town and I had a feeling they were still going to be sticklers about masks, but I forgot to bring mine from the car. And I was like, do I really have to go get it? And I was like, I wasn't going to fight them on it, but I was kind of hoping they'd be like, it's okay. But they were still enforcing. And when we sat at the table, the waitress was like, if you need to get up to move out the restaurant to use the restroom or something, we ask that you put your mask back on.
Yeah, there's still certain places that are doing that.
Which I respect.
I'm
curious about.
It's
like, I want to keep people safe.
Yeah. I'm curious about out west, how it's going to be. Because the last time I went to Denver, it was still very different than here. Like, I think we're much more open than a lot of places.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's happening over here. We did have an interesting story that happened. Speaking of being at bars and being wide open. This was Saturday night. This is what I'm saying about working. You guys are texting me to come meet you guys. And I was like, you guys, it's Saturday and I'm fucking working. Like, when's the last time you worked on a Saturday, Chip? Because I worked Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I feel like I just work every day, except I did not work at all this weekend, which felt amazing.
It feels amazing, right? But I've gotten really used to having a weekend. And then I'm like, oh, right. In this business, you kind of don't.
Right.
But so I'm back to that. But I had a huge shoot on Monday. And so I was prepping all day Saturday and fitting on Sunday with Lane Hardy. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He won American Idol. Yeah. So great. My Louisiana boy. It was just so fun. But anyway, so.
He looks great too.
Thank you.
I like what you've done with his look.
I appreciate that.
I was going to tell you that before when we were talking earlier.
Oh, wait till you see these photos. They're very cute. Thank you for saying that, though. Anyway, I was working, and you guys are... I'm getting blown up because it was like one of those days where nobody planned to go drink, and then it kind of seems like it turned into one of those really fun nights where everyone's just kind of in a good mood and whatever, and there was a lot of things happening at this bar. And so I was getting multiple texts from all three of you sitting there, like, individually. And
that's our tactic to try and just, like, get you to get come. Me
to- I wished I could have been there. But this one story really struck me. And, you know, I feel like we talk about our friend Mary on here a lot. We should probably just have her on.
I know.
She's been on my podcast before. She's awesome. But she... And you kind of got in a fight.
Well, she made it bigger than it was.
I mean, she called me when she left the bar to tell me the details. So I'm going to need you to just go ahead and do your replay, and then I'll be Mary and tell that side of the story.
Wait, no, I think you should lead with Mary's side of the story because...
Okay, fair.
Yeah, lead with her side, and then I'll tell you my perspective.
I really just felt like I've been talking a lot, so I was trying to pass it off.
And I will say, I will preface it with... Oh, God.
Try one more time. You try. No, this is hard when we do it sober.
Preface it with this. She has a tendency, like, when she sees, like, a crack...
Oh, she'll go for it.
She goes for it and mm-hmm. loves to, like, let it balloon. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, part of it is, like, she's trying to be funny, too. But, like, this one, I knew exactly what she was doing the second it went down. So, I can't, and she was not letting me see the text to you and obviously was not on the phone call.
Oh, so,
I cannot wait to hear how big a deal she made out of it. And then I'm going to tell you my perspective.
Okay. You know she's also listening.
100%. Of course she is.
Hey, Mary. What's up, girl?
And by the way, she's been drinking longer than I have.
We also, this is like such a sidetrack, but there's this bar called Mother's Ruin in Nashville, and they have these shots called picklebacks.
They're amazing.
They're disgusting. I actually love pickle juice, but you guys like blew this up like it was the best thing ever. So the last time we went, I tried it, and I'm like, what is it?
It's a shot of Jameson, and then you follow it with a shot of pickle juice.
Disgusting.
And they make their own pickle juice, so it's like it's a little sweet for pickle juice, but it complements the Jameson really well.
You think so?
So we were doing that in Coors Lights. And they also have, this is not a sponsored post, by the way, you guys. They also
this
have,
is our favorite
and there,
bar.
There is a location in New York, too. I think it's in Brooklyn.
Yes, but, yes.
They have a frozen cocktail of the day, and it changes. And there's this really cute bartender there named Joe, and it was on Saturday, it was called Joe's Bathwater, and I was like, I'll drink that.
Oh, I bet you
did. It was
I
did, but it wasn't, I didn't like it very much, to be honest.
You don't like Joe's Bathwater?
Well, the bartender, who was not Joe, said that they liked the drink better not frozen.
Oh.
It was just like, it was really tart, but then when it my last sip was like completely melted, and I was like, oh, that actually was good. I just didn't like it frozen. So anyway, we digress.
Anyway, that's our favorite bar. If you are coming to visit Nashville, I hate giving away all the secrets.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Don't cause a line.
Yeah, it does get kind of crowded, but it's been a good new addition. It opened during COVID. People are always asking me where to go, so I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there because that's my favorite bar in Nashville, Mother's Ruin. Okay, so here's the story. According to Mary, so they're sitting at the table and this group of girls walks in, and one of the girls was wearing a romper that possibly she should not have been wearing. It might have been a smidge too tight and too short. And that could have been part of the problem that I'm about to mention. But she's standing there as they move inside, and this is still from across the bar. Oh, he's nodding his head like this is accurate. Yeah. Okay. And the girl in the short romper reached down and scratched her crotch. And Mary said she was probably like doing the thing where it like the romper, this is again why she shouldn't have been wearing this romper, rode a little too high in the camel toe situation. And so she was trying to remove it, but it also appeared like a scratch. And that's not really the issue. That was sort of like, been there. We've all been there. If you're a girl, you're nodding your head right now. Like those romper things. This is why I can't wear them because I'm too tall. And it's just like constantly up my crotch. But she pulled it out, maybe did a little scratch. And Chip had a visceral reaction, like, oh my god, did you guys see that girl just scratch her crotch or pull, like, whatever it was, like, grab her crotch? That was so offensive, she should go to the bathroom for that. And, like, over the top reacted. And Mary said that she literally whipped her neck and was like, are you fucking serious?
Well,
you want to interject here?
Yeah. Okay. So she did all of those things.
Okay.
But she basically showed me her vagina at the same time.
Who did? The girl in the romper?
The woman in the romper. Finger went up the inside of her shorts.
Did she not have on underwear?
I don't know. There's a lot going on.
Oh, my God.
And it was like she almost exposed her vagina to me. Mm. I get that we have itches.
You do.
But Mary Hilliard was like, you scratch your balls all the time.
Well, that was the argument.
Which I don't. I mean, when was the last time you saw me scratch my balls in public?
I'm certain I have.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I've never done it.
Okay.
But she made it like it was like this thing. So if you're listening, I want you to point it out every time I do it.
Okay.
You know?
I will.
Yeah, do it.
I mean, here's
because if I'm guilty of that, like, that's inappropriate.
Thank you. Okay, so you're
Like, to me, I was more shocked that I literally almost saw this woman's vagina. And we were like locked in on her because of the whole situation.
Because of the romper.
Yeah, it was just like everything was popping out of it. Like, yikes. She didn't look comfortable in it. And the next thing wasn't. You know, her pussy's eating her pants and she's got to dig up in there. So it was less
pussy
about
eating her
but
pants.
Like,
we're gonna need to pause on that.
I know.
One. That
I love that
t-shirt.
One. I think no, there's
that goes
a lyric
the back
like
of
your
a
pussy's eating your pants. But Mary Hilliard, this is the thing that she does. Like, once she locked in on it, like, she didn't want to hear my side of the story. She was like, you're being the chauvinist. Like, well, and I was like, that's not what happened.
But I
like,
actually
rather
used
than argue when we've been drinking, like, because it was literally about nothing, you know, like.
Well, her argument is we as women, and this is absolutely true, we are supposed to act like it is totally fine for you guys to adjust your balls and your dick or whatever it is that y'all are doing when y'all grab and pull and do the little pinch thing. And the worst part is, like, she called me after and we're talking through this. I think I actually used the word chauvinist in the text to her. And I was
I think you did.
And I was like, wait, is that the proper term there? I'm not sure. But, like, we're like, are you fucking serious? Like, we are standing there. Half the time I'm, like, having a conversation, like, one-on-one with a guy. And they adjust. And I'm like, am I supposed to keep eye contact right now? Like, this is awkward. You just grabbed your balls. Like, it is so beyond inappropriate to me.
I will fully own that, like, that exists in the world because I think it is just more normalized. And if you got an itch, we all, like, your butt itches, your balls itch, your pussy itches, I don't care, scratch it.
Really?
Just, I don't want to see it while you're scratching it.
Well, right. Like,
you know, like,
I would never feel comfortable to scratch in public.
Right. And I also feel like if I was really aware of people seeing it, I would go somewhere that they couldn't. But does that mean that I've never just been like impulsively like moved junk around?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course I have.
I mean, I guess it's hard. You guys have these things hanging off your body.
Right. And they stick to your legs.
Ugh. Ugh. Gross.
But
sweaty balls.
I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about it today, because like she didn't give me the opportunity to like even really explain, because she was like, nope, you're being a chauvinist. And it was like one of those things where it was just elevated and that became funny to us. Yeah. It's like, but I love that it even became a conversation after.
Oh, I mean, like we did a full phone call about it after. But yeah, it's like so interesting to me because it is true though. Like a guy doing that and scratching and adjusting in public, it's like sort of just the thing we've become accustomed to. And if you saw a girl legit do it, you would probably, minus even the vagina exposure that you were saying, you would still be taken aback a bit, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
and that's like one of those unequal things about men and women.
Because men made the rules.
Right.
You know what I mean? Men made the rules.
Women are supposed to be pretty and have their shit together and be in this like perfect little box. Like we don't have itches.
Like a bra situation is a little bit more accepted than scratching your pussy.
Like, I feel like it is. What's the bra situation?
A woman, like, adjusting her bra is not dissimilar, completely dissimilar to, like, a guy adjusting himself. It's just a different area of the body.
Hard for me to say because I never wear bras.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. But do you see people, like, adjust?
I guess, but not really.
I mean, you'll see a woman be like...
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, like, you see...
Lift her
sorry,
tits
it's
is
like,
what he just did.
I, like, lifted my titties.
Get the girl.
But, like, you see that, and no one would be like, oh, that girl just lifted her... You know what I mean? Like, there's something that's
well,
a little more
social. Well,
most
guys with that would be like, hey.
Right, right. So, it does it say something about, like...
The parts we
the
have
hanging
off of our
bodies? The idea of a man, like, being like, oh, God, she's got an itchy pussy. Like, I don't know. Like, why is that
she
different?
Does she have a yeast infection?
Yeah, what's going on down there? Sometimes you just have weird itches.
I mean, right, especially if you're sweaty, as you're mentioning, and something's sticking somewhere. Sticking you don't somewhere. Want it to be sticking. It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think overall, women are supposed to act a little more proper. And it's like, wait, who made these rules? Where did these come from? And like, there are a lot of different things that fall under these categories.
Yes.
We actually found an article. This was from Houston. Like, this was the CBS local in Houston. They did this article. 10 things men do that women can't. Some of them are stupid. Women can't impregnate another person. I mean, that's dumb, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's just biology.
Okay. This one, I think.
But
is,
technically, if you are a lesbian couple, a woman could insert a syringe of sperm into her partner and impregnate her. So, I mean, if you want to get like turn it into a riddle, you could impregnate somebody.
So we're doing riddles.
In the same way that I can impregnate you with another man's sperm the same way. You know what I mean? Like, it's still impregnating you.
I guess that's true, but that's not what they mean.
They
here.
Can't, like,
our biology cannot impregnate another person.
It requires an outside person to make that happen.
This one is one that I think about all the time. Men can use the restroom without completely removing their pants. A woman can't perform the same task without some unfortunate consequences, what, like wetting her pants, I guess. But that's not the thing I think about. Men can pee wherever they want to pee. We talk about this all the time. You said you pee in your backyard. Like,
yeah, I love it.
Guys pee outside just constantly, I feel like. This is like...
I peed at the park today when I was walking my dogs.
See?
Because I wasn't... Sure, I just was like... I had to time it to make sure nobody could see me, but I was like gonna pee my pants if I didn't.
It's ridiculous. It's like, you guys, anytime you're just anywhere near a bush can go pee. It's like a dog.
Yeah.
And we have to just wait till the bathroom. Yeah. I mean, unless you're gonna pop a squat, like that's like an emergency situation though. It's like a lot of thigh workouts. It is like a lot.
You're gonna get it on your shoes.
Well, not if you're a professional like some.
Well,
of us, but
there's definitely splatter that you deal with.
There's a lot. Well, if you do it properly, and if you've grown up in the South, you know how to pop a squat somewhere if you have to, but. But it isn't necessarily as easy. And it's just like so frustrating sometimes when you're like, oh, driving in a car, you know, I've talked about that because you'll pee in a water bottle if you have to. Like an emergency situation in a car, like there's no out for me.
Right. Yeah.
We'd have to pull over to the side of the road so I could pop a squat.
Well, now they've got they've got that go girl, but I have a feeling.
What is a go girl?
A go girl is like, it's basically like a funnel that women can use. I've been reading that like Amazon drivers use it because they can't get to a bathroom without like losing an hour of their work because they're delivering down these rural roads. So they're peeing into bottles and women are using these things called a go girl, which was invented for female truck drivers.
Interesting.
But like, I still feel like there's a mess there, you know, like
it's a lot more difficult.
Then you've got this like basic, like a funnel that you've peed in that you've got to like put somewhere in your car. Like it's not as easy as me peeing.
It's
into
a lot
a
going on.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on. This is another good one. Women can't get away with calling a man crazy or bipolar or blame hormones to remove blame during an argument with a significant other. I mean, if I told you how many times that's been used on me, like, what time? Oh, is it that time of the month? And you're like, go fuck yourself.
Right.
Like, no, you're just a dick.
And well, to play devil's advocate, how often is it used? Like, I'm sorry, I'm on my period. You know, like.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's fair. It's a fair argument.
But it's true that you can never do that to
Well,
men.
It's fair that we say things like, oh, I feel like shit today, or oh, I'm PMSing, like, but it's
or
mostly,
my brain's in a fog, like,
on
a
period.
Yeah.
But those are more about the physical symptoms of PMS. And again, I will go to like the grave saying this shit. a man could not handle 1 month of a goddamn period.
Oh, I am thankful every day that I don't have to deal
with that. It is legitimately terrible. It's like having the flu and still having to function in your life. And your brain feels like a mess and you can't, you're bleeding out of an orifice in your body. Is that the right word?
Orifice.
Yeah. Like you're bleeding out of your body and you're not dying. Like it's like you actually wish you could sometimes.
Right.
Like it is not right. And we have to go in. Like where I was listening to some podcast. It was that comedian you and I were listening
to. Michelle Wolf.
And she was talking about like, you don't see, there's not like a situation where a man comes in and his arm is like off his body. He's bleeding out of his body. And everyone's still just like, hey, how's your day going?
Right.
Like,
you don't mention. Sit down and do your work.
Like sit down and do your work. Like it's not a thing. Like it's just like, we are literally bleeding out of our bodies and we're expected to function like normal. It's hard.
It is such a weird biological thing. Like, you would think that so much research would have been put into, like, changing that.
Well, I mean, I think that's why birth control got invented. Yeah. But the thing is like I don't take birth control because I just, first of all, my body doesn't react. I'm too sensitive to any medicine. But I feel like I'm like, our bodies are supposed to do this thing.
Right.
And so stopping it feels wrong.
Yeah,
and totally. Not good for me.
No,
you know? But it's the... It's the burden we must bear.
And yes. You strong, beautiful
and so
woman.
You... There you... He's switching his tune right now. He's like, is she on her period?
Because yeah. What time of the month? Let me check my calendar.
My boobs did start to get a little swollen today. So it must be now coming.
Have time to lift them.
Mine never really do that. Let's get real here. What's another one? Did you see any other ones?
I mean, I think this one's kind of funny. Men can have super hairy legs and underarms without being judged. Women in this country cannot.
That's so true. I guess in other countries like Europe and a lot of places people do.
But how much of that is being put on by women too? Like,
well, it's just what we've been programmed to believe.
Totally,
so until someone, and I think some people are starting to do this, but until someone is like, hey, like I'm going to have armpit hair. But it's like you want to be beautiful by whatever your society's standards are.
Totally,
and so
yeah.
It's tough because like I wouldn't feel comfortable having hair on my
body. Yeah, you don't like that.
Well, I've also gotten used to viewing that. It's sort of like being tan, right? Like in America, there's these certain things. What?
Isn't it funny that like, of course it's America.
It is America, though.
Yeah.
I need to leave this country.
God. I'm just moving to France.
I've always dreamed about living in France and smoking cigarettes. Like this, like,
let's do it when we're old.
Okay.
We'll just buy a little place in like Montpellier or somewhere like in south of France. Okay. And we'll just smoke cigarettes, drink rosé all day.
All of a sudden we like smoke cigarettes.
Until we die.
Even though
yeah.
I mean, you're already.
But you do it when you're like dying, you know.
I just always look so glamorous to me in the movies, but it's really probably not. But anyway, yeah, the arm thing. I mean, the hair thing is really interesting. What else?
I mean,
the rest of them are kind of dumb.
Yeah, rest of them are kind of dumb. I do think there's one that men pay approximately $4.25 per garment for dry cleaning, but a similar garment for a woman is always more expensive. I mean, I've never really paid attention to that.
Me either. I wonder if it's like the simplicity of a man's shirt. I was thinking about that when I read it, just from a styling perspective.
I feel like women's clothing in general is more expensive than men's, too.
It's true. Because we'll pay it.
But you also, I get jealous, not that I would want to dress as a woman, but I just get jealous by the diversity of what women wear.
You do?
Yeah. There's so many more options. Like,
that's true.
I have to put on pants and a shirt. That's it.
I feel like you really jazz it up. You know, your
I mean, I try to like have flair with that, but it's like you can wear a romper or a jumpsuit or a dress or a skirt.
We shouldn't be wearing too many rompers because
you never know what you're gonna scratch.
Your pants to eat that pussy to eat those pants.
Your pussy's eating your pants. What song is that?
Not true. I mean, not sure. Got what? Not true.
It is.
Where
a song.
Am I right now? I don't know. Well, this was interesting. So just to give the flip side, because we're not just going to try to be like, men have it so easy. There are programmings for both sides, I believe. Like there's a lot of programming for women about looking pretty, fitting in a certain box. I did a podcast, I think I mentioned this last week, called The Good Girl Myths. That's really great for all women to go listen to, like just to even understand what kind of programming and why you're operating the way that you are. And how some of the stuff might be things that you could let go of. But I do think this is true for men too, right? Like men, are supposed to be strong and like have it together and be these like pillars of strength that don't have feelings. And I found this other article on Thought Catalog, and there's a lot of things that actually the article is 25 things women get away with that men can't. And the first one they say is having feelings.
Yeah.
And this is again, I think maybe an American thing, but like, we aren't accustomed or very comfortable yet with men being very sensitive or feelers or emotional in general.
Yeah. I mean, and there is this one that's for a little bit further down, but I think it plays into it. But it really strikes me is talking to random children.
Ooh, like men can be considered creepy.
Yeah. But I think it's like when you see a man who is willing to like engage with a child.
Yeah.
It's because they're a little probably more emotional too.
Yeah.
I just rewatched the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor? Mm-hmm. And like, I would think if he weren't a television star, most people would be really creeped out by him.
That's
like,
true.
You would think that he was like, you would not
it's
trust him.
It's a beautiful day in the
neighborhood. Yeah, I mean, it was like, but he's so like, it was all about just spreading kindness and love. And it's really beautiful. I wish there were more people like that in the world, you know? But he was so good with kids.
That's interesting.
You know, he said, there was a moment where he said, like, when I'm looking at the camera, I'm envisioning that I am talking to one child. So that the kids that are watching on their screens are receiving it as if like I'm talking directly to them.
But that is something that I think a lot of people would feel way more comfortable with a woman doing that than a man. And the interesting part is that men and women both have masculine and feminine energy, right? And so we're all supposed to tap into both sides to be a full embodied human or whatever. But it is interesting, the cultural and societal like pressures to not be a certain way or to not have these feelings. Like, again, a man is supposed to be strong and feelings are viewed as weak, which is actually the opposite of truth, if you ask me. But
you know, like, it's so funny because I also feel like it's pretty highly revered to like be a sexy good dad. You know what I mean? It's like when you see a dad that's like emotionally connected to their kids, like, I think men are jealous of it and women are like, panties be dropping.
Oh, for sure. Sliding off their chair. Absolutely.
I mean, it was damp. That's a reference to the Righteous Gemstones, Judy Gemstone.
So good. Yeah. It was damp.
Damn.
This one was interesting to me. Groping in general. I had a strange woman come up to me at a bar and touch my arm and chest without even saying a word. If I did that to a woman, I'd be on my ass out on the street in a heartbeat. That is true.
Yeah.
Because we like also this, there's this like message I think that's out there that men just want sex all the time. And like, they want to be touched by a woman. So like, there don't seem to be that many boundaries around it, but like, I don't think that's probably actually true. That's just the message that I think gets put out a lot of times. So women can get away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We sort of have to accept being objectified.
Yeah.
Remember that commercial? This is probably a little old, but remember that like Diet Coke commercial that was like the sexy gardener and all the women were like looking out their windows, like being like,
no, but I can imagine.
It was just like, there was this really hot guy and it was like sweating and drinking a Diet Coke. And I feel like it's happened. Obviously, like there's always been sexy women in ads, but it was like so clearly about just objectifying the sexy man that I feel like if that had happened the other way, it would have, without it being like, because there have been like the Carl's Jr. ads with like the Kardashians and Paris Hilton, but like there was a level of like they were in on the joke, and I guess you could say that the male actor was too, but something about it felt very different.
That's interesting. I think women are so constantly objectified, if I'm being honest, that it's like the way that a woman feels like they're getting their power back is to objectify back. Yeah. Or no, to objectify back. So it's like the Cardi B's and the Megan Thee Stallions of the world. Right. We've talked about like that WAP song. I think that is their way to be like, oh, no. Like,
yeah, you get to sing about your big dicks all the time.
Yeah, so here we go. I'm going to talk about how you need to go down on me more.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know, but I actually don't. I think you're right in that it's not really the right approach to just like reverse the behavior back to the other sex isn't necessarily the answer to us finding equal rights. It's just like, someone has to stop the behavior in general. Like,
totally.
No one should be objectified. That's just the deal.
Right.
But because women have been objectified for so long and so consistently and on such a bigger scale, I think that it's like, we're like, oh no, we'll do it back. And it's funny then versus insulting.
I thought this one was really interesting.
What?
Men can't be bisexual.
Oh, it's so true. We've talked about this.
You know, it's like such a double standard. Like, you know, if a guy tells you that he's bisexual, you're like, that guy's gay. Mm-hmm. But if a girl's like, oh, I hooked up with so many girls in college, like, no one's like, she's a lesbian.
No,
like,
most of the time guys think it's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a double standard.
Yeah. That is
so
weird.
And I truly believe that there are bisexual men that, like,
just like both.
Yeah. They're just incredibly sexual. I think that, like, the scale of sexuality is a 1 to 10. And, like, there are people that fall at 5.
I used to be very much in the mindset of, like, a guy is not, because any heterosexual guy that I knew would be so turned off by that. And so I was like, bisexual. Psh. But now I buy into the scale. Yeah. I really do. I think it's like, it is. It's like everything else. I mean, there's a skill for everything. I think autism, narcissism. It's like, and we can have little characteristics of each thing.
Totally.
But you don't have to be full, like, narcissistic personality disorder to have some traits, you know,
right,
or whatever, or more than another. This one's a good one. Being a sugar baby. I want to know what you think about this, because it says that sugar baby, sugar daddy relationship. I mean, how many guys out there are sponsored by older women?
I feel like that one's a little gray. I feel like,
I think it's happening more and more nowadays.
Well, and also, like, the whole idea of, like, the cougar, you know, like, it's, that has become more accepted in the world. I also think too, like, the world is, even in our lifetime, like, where women fall on the level of, like, success,
right?
You know, more women were leaving the home. Like, when I was a kid, a lot of moms didn't work, and now I feel like most kids' moms work, and a lot of them are more successful than the men. So the idea of a sugar mamas existing is just more naturally going to be more prevalent, right?
I think so. I was actually just looking to see when this article was written, and it was 2017, and I think there's been some changes. I really do, because then there's another one that says dating much younger people, like, date much younger men and not get called creepy. Like, women can do that. But I think that there is a normalization happening with both. Or I don't know. Like, I do think a lot of women are dating much younger men.
They are in their sexual prime later in life too. Right. So when it comes to the physicality of dating,
that's true.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Fat shaming. I think it's rotten that a woman can make fun of a guy if, for example, they are overweight. Do women do that?
I mean, I think shitty people do.
Yeah, like, I think just a bad person.
I think if it happens, their friends are going to be less likely to call them out. Mm-hmm. But, like, if a guy were like, look at that fat bitch, like, and we're around other women, like, that would never fly.
Yeah. Did a man write this article? I'm going back to, Lorenzo, of course. Because at the end, he says, well, everything really. And he starts just listing off all these things. And I'm like, okay, now we're done with you, Lorenzo. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was all really interesting. I'm kind of glad to hear that you were not as far on the chauvinist side that I thought you were at the bar.
Yeah, I mean, there was no way to argue my way out of it. So I just let her, you know.
Have her pickleback moment,
yeah.
Those things are disgusting. All right, let's move to listener emails. This one comes from Jessica. She says, I absolutely love the podcast, and I think it's fun to do a little bit of everything and cover all sorts of topics. I think it's great to do an episode maybe once a month, heavy on the sex and dating, and then maybe another week where you deal with more current event stuff. Then maybe have an episode once a month where you do interview somebody. I'd love to be interviewed. I've got some pretty great stories. The latest one is where both of my boyfriends found out about each other.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I hear all the complaints that you guys share on the podcast, and I just think these people are complaining should really go that are complaining should really go sit on attack, because, like, it's a podcast. Why are they such judgmental? Oh, sit on attack. Because, like, it's a podcast. Why are they such judgmental bitches?
Ooh.
Susan, she's talking to you. Hey, Chip. This one actually came from, you forwarded me this a couple weeks ago. Do you remember this?
This
was when we talked about your orgy stories.
Oh, yeah.
And you say that people don't write to you. So I'm just reading this one specifically because this was directed you. I know. Hey, Chip, love you and Kelly. I never send messages like this, but thank you so much for putting your orgy story out there. I've never done it, but my husband and I are more adventurous and do enjoy sex. and I get made fun of a lot for it, and it's hard in our friend group. I'm a Christian and our kids go to a Christian school, but that doesn't mean I don't like to have a good time in the bedroom. Thank you for making me feel a little less self-conscious for getting freaky. Also, please do meetups or a live podcast soon. I would so pay to come meet y'all. You have seriously been like two friends I don't even know through this pandemic.
I love it. She invited us to her house.
Oh my gosh.
She lives on a lake.
You guys are like besties now.
I know. And it's funny, the town that she lives in, I actually drive through on my way home to Virginia. So maybe one day I'll
a little stop in, a little cocktail hour. Yeah. I love that you made her feel more, or you just normalized the topic, or just by sharing your stories, she felt more comfortable.
Well, and it's funny because even for me to like step out of my comfort zone to share that too, and it's like, it made me feel more normal just to fucking say it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think the moral of that whole story is like, just own who you are. And anybody who thinks that you're a fucking freak, you don't need them in your life.
Also, don't you think it's interesting that when you start owning who you are and saying your truth out loud, a lot of people are like, oh, well, me too.
Yeah, I do that too.
I think it's just like so normalized in our society not to talk about the truth. And it's like, so do we actually really even know anybody? You know, like I had a friend message me this morning and she told me something. And then she was like, don't tell anyone else. And I was thinking, I said to her, I'm like, you're so smart because in our friend group, I tell everything. And so then everyone has an opinion on everything in my life because I literally verbal vomit all the details all the time. And it does kind of backfire on me when I'm like wavering on certain things or not really sure where I stand because I'm getting too many opinions. And so I was like, wow, you really are smart. And then I started driving and I was like, that's so interesting though, because do we really even know our people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting point because it's like you want to share who you are and you want people's feedback, but you're also like don't want their opinion.
Well, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, have to go live your life
100%
in the way that works for you. But for like a person like me who I'm a big external validation, like it's something I've really had to work on in my adult life. And so to have that sometimes, like I just need better boundaries. Like I'm the opposite. We're both the opposite extremes, me and this one friend that I'm talking about. And so it's like, maybe there's somewhere in the middle where it's like, you have boundaries about what you share and you're not verbal vomiting, but you're also not like hiding shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's a really like fine line to walk.
Truly.
I'm so jealous of people that are like 100% open books.
Appear
to be. Yeah, I mean, I kind of just feel like I wish I could be that sometimes.
See, I'll
but
do
I worry
it,
too much
and,
about
then,
judgment often. Like,
see, that's what happens is like, I'll do it. I tell everybody everything. And then I feel so much shame sometimes, especially if I like change my mind.
Right.
Because like when you're intense in the moment, sometimes you're like I'm such a feeler, you know? So I'm like, I can either be like super fucking angry or like sad. And then I wake up the next day and I'm like, oh, I'm actually fine.
Well,
but when I'm processing, sometimes it's like insane.
I think that where you need to, like the way that you need to think about it is like, you have to ask yourself if you really care about someone's opinion about something. Like, I think it happens a lot during breakups.
Yeah.
Because like, you'll be like, oh, this motherfucker. And then they're like, yeah, I've always hated your boyfriend or I've hated your girlfriend.
You're like, oh, we're
and then that
together.
Can't, like, you can't take that back. You can't, that can't be unsaid.
That's so true.
So I think in those moments, like, they might not have hated your boyfriend, but that's your friend protecting you.
Of course. And everyone in your life that loves you just wants you to be happy.
Right,
so it's like,
so you just have to be prepared to like hear someone's opinion that it might differ from yours, but it you don't have to like let that change how you feel.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's tough.
Oof. All right, this one comes from Casey. Hey, Kelly and Chip, listening to the latest episode of The Edge, the piece about the weddings. I was feeling weird about doing our vows in front of a ton of people, and my hubby is very shy. We ended up writing out everything we wanted to say and promised to read each other in letters. And promise to each other in letters that we read the day of the wedding in private and in front of the guests. We kept it traditional with the do you. I do, etc. That way, no one heard our private thoughts. So that is just a comment because I felt the apprehension of being in front of people and having them judge me. That's actually brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, think about like when you, whether it's like something really nice you want to say or something really mean, it's so much easier to put it down on words for me
to write it.
So I feel like I would really open my heart. I mean, I'm also like, I just couldn't do that in front of a lot of people. I would be so much like, I would be inclined to make it funny,
of course,
to like lighten the mood for me to feel more vulnerable, like less vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say like real shit if I wrote the letter.
Well, it's also sort of in line with like, it's very private. I would imagine how you feel about each other. And so, I mean, you know, you could say some stuff, but like, it's a little more sacred if you keep it between the two of you. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
This is from Chelsea. Hey, Kelly and Chip. I love the Edge podcast. You guys crack my ass up. Your topics are for the fun peeps, and I love it. My daughters and I are coming to Nashville in July, and we plan to ride the Golden Dick.
Oh, snap.
We have yet to find that, by the way.
I know. I'm starting to worry that it's not real.
Maybe it's not. We really need to look into it. You know, we need to get out.
You can't Google it. I've tried to find it.
What happens if you Google Golden Dick?
Well, I'm on my work computer, so I'll have to wait till I can do it on my phone.
Oh my God. Okay. And we plan to ride the Golden Dick and hit up the Wild Beaver for some karaoke and bull riding action. Oh, I guess I should mention my daughters are adults. Anyway, keep being you.
Could you imagine if you saw a mom ride by with her kids?
Oh my God. On the Golden Dick, going to the Wild Beaver. That would be a sight.
Oh my God.
Anyway, you guys keep the stories coming to theedge@velvetsedge.com, or you can slide into my DMs at Velvet's Edge. Chip is at Chip Dorch. Spell it for us, Chip.
CHIPDORSCH.
What if you misspelled your own name? This morning I was telling someone that your real name is Frank.
Oh my God, it is.
Frank Adolf.
Frank Adolf Dorsch
III. Quite the ring to it. Yeah. Quite the ring to it. Yep. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As you move into your weekend, I thought I was about to slide in so good. Really just like nail it. As you move into the weekend.
Remember when you're living on the edge too.
Oh, no. You actually just messed it up. When you're living on the edge, I hope you guys. Okay, let's start over. When you're moving into your weekend, you know, this is Friday after all. I hope that you guys are living on the edge and you always remember to
act casual.
I really do have to write a sticky note. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Bye.